ready to go. Ready to go. Good morning. The time is 9:06. Again, overcast skies here in downtown Wausau. Some light rain is falling at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. Temperature stands at 45 degrees. I am Chad Holmes. It is hour two of the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Coming up in this hour, we'll talk about what's been going on in area sports a little bit later on. Also coming up at the bottom of the hour, after our information update, we will have three cast members from the Wausau West Theater. That's coming up starting tomorrow. Yep, tomorrow night is opening night for the American classic Our Town by Thornton Wilder. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, 7 o'clock. Sunday at 2 o'clock at Tebow and Tilly on Scott Street in Wausau. So we will find out about the show, find out about the process, find out about the excitement of opening just over 30 hours away. So that's coming up at 9:34 this morning here on the program. Well, I guess before we go any further, need to say hello and good morning again to my in-studio engineer and producer, Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
I got a question, question, because you've talked about how you've been involved in so many different productions.
Uh-huh.
What is a production you have not been involved in, a show that you love that you hope to be part of at some point in your performing career?
Well, let's see. A couple I've always wanted to do is I want to do The Wizard of Oz, and I want to do Into the Woods. Those are two shows I've seen but haven't actually been a part of. So those shows I would like to be a part of, because those are very fun shows. Challenging, but very worthwhile.
Those are two shows I think you'll have an opportunity to. I think those are performed pretty often, aren't they? You see them from time to time.
Usually see them performed every couple of years. You can't have two different companies doing the same show at the same time, though, because of a copyright, obviously. And plus, we're not allowed to do a show that's touring on Broadway because it conflicts with them as well, and they have the rights over the community theaters. So, sometimes for the theater boards, it's hard to find shows to do because either they've been done by other productions recently or they're being done professionally at the moment. But sometimes you can find a good quality, a lesser known shows, and those are always a lot of fun because they're lesser known shows. They can instantly become classics, like Nose Is Off, for instance. I never actually seen that show before, but that is one show that I would probably never forget seeing because it was so funny.
Fantastic. Again, I mentioned the ways you can tune in, but I forgot to mention again as well, you can also tune in on our Facebook page and our X page for Bow Falls Radio. Again, go to Facebook.com and our Bow Falls Radio page, and X.com and Bow Falls Radio, and you can see our video stream as well. And we also would love you to get involved either by calling or texting. Our call and text number is 715 715- 715-382-9297. 715-382-9297. Again, you can either call or text, and make sure you have that number available on Friday. As I've mentioned before, starting this Friday, we will give you an opportunity to win an overnight stay at the Chula Vista Resort in the Wisconsin Dells. And we'll also be on this Friday giving you a chance to win some certificates for water park passes and for food down in the Dells as well. So it'll be a big Friday and a chance to win. Starting this Friday, every Friday throughout the rest of April and through May, we'll give you an opportunity to win an overnight stay at the Chula Vista Resort from Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Also wanted to mention a story I came across. As we get into 2024, of course, we will be talking a lot about the United States Senate race. The incumbent U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin going up against, at this point, Republican Eric Hovde. He's really the only major Republican that has thrown his hat in the ring up to this point. And we've seen a lot of Eric Hovde ads recently. And a story that came out on Wisconsin Public Radio's website, WPR.org, says that Eric Hovde has now given himself an $8 million loan. And I find that interesting because despite inflation, that's the same amount that Ron Johnson, when he first ran for the U.S. Senate against Russ Feingold, gave himself back in 2012. So apparently a rich guy, Republican loans to their U.S. Senate candidacies in Wisconsin have not gone up any. It was an $8 million donation from Ron Johnson to his own campaign back in 2012. And now Eric Hovde has given an $8 million loan to his U.S. Senate campaign. And that, I guess if you're not raising as much money as your opponent, that's one way to get back on an even playing field. The approach, according to some campaign experts in the story, offers major benefits but also some drawbacks. Previous self-funders in Wisconsin have had a mixed result, and I think you would say that in the last gubernatorial election, where Tony Evers was able to defeat Tim Michaels. Tim Michaels, a self-funder, was not able to use his riches to earn the governorship or buy the governorship. In the first 3 months of 2024, the Federal Elections Commission has said that Baldwin raised $5.4 million and spent $3.2 million. Her campaign finished the quarter with just more than $10 million cash on hand. Hovde's campaign, meantime, raised just more than $1 million. So that means that Baldwin, $5.4 million raised in the first quarter. Hovde, just $1 million in the first quarter, which was from January 1st through March 31st. And, of course, that includes the maximum contributions from GOP mega donors Elizabeth and Richard Eline. I've said this before. When you have so much money that you can spend millions and millions and millions of dollars on campaigns like the Eline family does, you got too much money. But that's just my opinion on that. But it was Hovde's $8 million loan to his campaign that helped him spend $3.7 million during the first quarter. Hovde finished the period with $5.3 million cash on hand. So, I mean, I guess you're going to have $5.3 million cash on hand when you are giving yourself $8 million to spend. And I find it interesting as well, because a commercial that I've seen from Mr. Hovde talks about how he can't be bought because rich guys can't get bought, according to him.
He keeps saying that, doesn't he?
Yes, he keeps saying that. But the thing about it is he's buying himself here. And the idea that he's working for rich guys, you're being bought in a different way. I mean, uh-huh. And this idea, again, that the idea that, well, I'm so rich that I don't need my salary as a senator means that I can't be bought is so wrong on so different, so many different levels.
The guy who gives an $8 million loan to his own Senate campaign.
But it's such a slur against anybody that's not rich who wants to serve. I mean, does that mean that if you're not rich, you're automatically going to be bought? I mean, it makes no sense. It's wrong on every different level.
Yeah.
Also, according to the story, though, according to a political science professor at UW La Crosse, Anthony Trigoski, he says that it is smart to give himself the loan early because you have to get name recognition early. You can't wait to the last minute in a campaign in order to use that money. So I actually agree with that if you're going to give yourself a big donation, you may as well give it early on in the campaign and try to build that name recognition. And I obviously he's doing that. You've seen the commercials. I've seen the commercials. I think a lot of Wisconsinites have seen the commercials. I imagine that you seeing these commercials, know more about Eric Tufte now than you did maybe 6 months ago, right?
Actually, I haven't seen a lot of those Tufte commercials as of late. I mean, I think the latest one I seen where he was, well, I don't remember exactly what it was, but I haven't actually seen a new ad of his. But that's probably because I haven't been watching TV.
Well, that's a good thing. I was saying you're lucky. Because
I've been keeping busy so much, I haven't had time to just
exactly
sit down and flip through the channels.
But the ad is titled "Can't Be Bought." That's the title of the spot. Tufte claims that career politicians, quote, sell themselves to special interests and end up working for them and not you, end quote. I'm sorry, but if he's trying to say that Tammy Baldwin has been bought by special interests and is working for them and not for the people of Wisconsin,
I don't think that's accurate.
It's not accurate. Tammy Baldwin has been going all across this state and helping not only liberals, but she goes to conservative areas and brings back the bacon for these folks as well. So yeah. I wonder how effective that line of attack is for Eric Tufte. I really don't think that that would be a great winner, but we'll wait and see. And then he also ends the spot by pledging to donate his U.S. Senate salary, if elected, to charity organizations in Wisconsin. Well, congratulations.
His salary anyway?
That's a good question. Actually, I'm going to look that up. But the idea that, again, a guy that is worth tens of millions, I have no idea what Eric Tufte's true worth is. But the compensation for senators, representatives is $174,000.
So he's going to give that
to charity, which is fine. But again, the idea that if you're worth millions and millions and millions of dollars, and you're saying, "Well, I'm going to give that $174,000 back," so that makes me above the fray. Again, that's disingenuous. The time is 9:18. Coming up, we're going to talk a little sports. Yesterday, I was off doing some high school baseball, but we'll talk about what's happening in area baseball and softball. The Brewers struggling for the first time this year as they continued their series with San Diego last night, and NBA started their playoffs last night. So we'll talk a little sports. And then coming up at 9:34, again, we will be talking about Our Town, the Wausau West Theater production that is starting tomorrow evening. So that's all still to come. Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.
Hello, Wausau.
Hello, Wausau.
We're Ryan and Paul from the Wausau Business Show. Happy to announce caller 9 to 715-9-WAUSA gets a new set of AirPod Pros, Apple AirPod Pros.
Caller number 9 right now, 715-9-WAUSA is our number.
Just leave your name and number.
And we'll announce the winner Saturday morning between 8 and 9 during the Wausau Business Show on 98.9 Bull Falls Radio, 715-9-WAUSA.
Don't forget to leave your name and number on our answering machine.
We'll tell you who caller number 9 was this Saturday, 8 to 9 on the Wausau Business Show.
Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. The time is 9:21 here on this Wednesday morning. It is a hump day Wednesday as the weekend getting closer and closer. By the time we do get to the weekend, we expect the sunshine to return. We'll keep you up to speed on the weather. But want to talk a little bit of sports, as last night the Milwaukee Brewers lost for the third straight time. And it started off poorly, and the Brewers never able to dig themselves out of a hole. San Diego scored four times in the top of the fourth, in the top of the first inning, and then knocked off the Crew by a score of 6-3 last night at American Family Field. Also, the Brewers lost starting pitcher Wade Miley. He left the game in the fourth inning after being struck on the kneecap by a line drive. That sounds like it hurts. That knee area, absolutely. There's not much to protect when you get hit in the kneecap. Hopefully there's no cracks in that kneecap, and Wade Miley will be back sooner rather than later.
You can't even imagine the pain. That sounds terrible.
William Contreras continued his hot start for the Crew. He had two RBI. He also extended his hit streak to 12 games in a row. But the Brewers, who started off 10-3, have now lost three in a row. They are now 10-6. They'll try and salvage the final game of the series today, just after 12 noon at American Family Field. The Brewers also got some bad news, because one of the reasons I think they've struggled the last few days is they've been missing Christian Yelich. Yelich has been off to a very fast start, and he'll be out for a little while, at least another week. He's been placed on the 10-day injured list. Yelich is dealing with complications from a lower back strain, and outfielder Owen Miller will be taking his spot on the roster in the meantime. Before the injury, Yelich, again, red-hot start, leading the Brewers' offense with a .333 batting average, 5 home runs, 11 RBI. Again, just a red-hot start, and bad news. Hopefully that back injury will not be something that lingers during the rest of the season for Christian Yelich. Yesterday, I had high school baseball here on Bow Falls Radio. Second day in a row, Marathon and Stratford, two of the perennial powers in the Merrowood Conference South Division. On Monday, Stratford defeated Marathon 4-0. It looked as though maybe Stratford was going to complete a two-game series sweep, as they took a 4-0 lead in the first inning. They had a 7-3 lead in the fourth inning, but then Marathon scored 9 runs in a row, and they defeated the Stratford Tigers by a score of 12-8. With the victory, Marathon improves their overall record to 7 wins and 2 losses. They are 3-1 in the Merrowood Conference South. Stratford is now 4-2 on the season overall. They are 1-1 in the conference. Also yesterday in high school baseball, it was D.C. Everest in the Wisconsin Valley Conference defeating Wausau East by a score of 7-2. Also yesterday, Athens fell to Abbotsford Colby 11-4 in the opener of a doubleheader, and then Abby Colby completed the sweep with a 14-2 win in game number two. It was also Wittenberg-Burnhamwood knocking off Gillett-Suring by a score of 13-5. Wild Rose beat Tigerton 15-10. Port Edwards over Boulder 19-3. And Tecusa topped Westfield 9-3. High school softball, also in Marathon. Stratford and Marathon were facing off, and the Stratford Tigers earned a 15-5 win over Marathon. Also yesterday in the Merrowood Conference South, Newman Catholic lost at Auburndale by a score of 12-4. It was Wausau West in a slugfest. This is not a football score. This was a softball score yesterday. Wausau West defeated Merrill by a score of 20-10. That doesn't sound like softball. That sounds more like football. 20-10, Warriors over the Merrill Blue Jays in high school softball. Also in the Valley, Stevens Point shut out Marshfield by a score of 10-0. It was Swamigan outslugging Phillips 15-7. Tomahawk fell to Antigo by a score of 16-4. Lakeland, another one that looks more like a football score. Lakeland beat Rhinelander in softball 21-0. Medford over Northern Pines by a score of 13-0. High school soccer, girls soccer last night. Wausau West defeated Lakeland by a score of 5-1. Real quickly, the rest of the week in terms of our high school play-by-play schedule. On Thursday is high school softball, as Wausau West will take on Marathon. Game that will be played at Wausau West High School. Warriors and the Red Raiders high school softball Thursday. Coverage will begin with the pregame show at 4:20 and the first pitch at 4:30 right here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 to 12:30, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Then on Friday, It's the Newman Catholic Cardinals. We'll have the Newman Cardinals softball team in action playing host to Phillips, a game that will be played at the Sunnyvale Softball Complex. Again, we will have live coverage of that one starting with the pregame show at 4:35 and the first pitch at 4:45 live right here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BowFallsRadio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Again, for a complete look at our upcoming broadcast schedule and also previous broadcasts of high school athletics with Wausau West Marathon and Newman, just go to our website, BowFallsRadio.com, click on sports. Again, BowFallsRadio.com, click on sports, then you'll be able to see our upcoming broadcast. And also, if you missed any of our previous broadcasts, you have an audio archive right there. But we've talked a lot about high school sports. We've also talked a lot about high school theater recently. Last week, we had members of the cast from DC Everest and Wausau East as they had their productions last weekend. And this week, it is Wausau West. And Wausau West is having their production starting tomorrow. Our Town by Thornton Wilder is being produced at Tebow and Tilly on Scott Street in Wausau. Again, one of the all-time American classics. And we'll have three of the cast members, Milo, along with Lee and Nolan, coming in and talking about that coming up in just a few moments.
That's right.
We will have first an information update. Find out what's going on in the news, weather, and sports as we do at the top and the bottom of every hour here on Bow Falls Radio. So news, weather, and sports coming up, and that will be followed by our discussion with the members of the cast of Our Town from Wausau West. The time is 9:28. Again, a rather overcast start here in central Wisconsin. Some light rain. Temperature stands at 45 degrees. Glad you could join us on this Wednesday. Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Boy, it has been a busy time if you are a fan of local theater, because last week we saw a number of shows. We had a chance to talk to folks from DC Everest and Wausau East about their shows last week, and also talk to the River and Woods Theater Company. And also the children's theater. So, but very wisely, Wausau West has got the weekend more to themselves this weekend, because Wausau West Theater is presenting Our Town, the classic American play by Thornton Wilder, this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 2 p.m. With the performances at Tebow and Tilly at 745 Scott Street in Wausau. And very happy to welcome back a couple of students from West and performers who have been here before, and welcome as well a student that has, you haven't been here before, Lee, right?
I have not.
All right, well, welcome.
Excited to be here.
Lee Horning?
Yeah.
Horning?
Yeah, you got it right. Don't worry.
I'm so worried about it, Lee. And also very happy to welcome back Nolan Mudler and also Milo Holt, who have both been here before. Thank you all for coming in to talk about the production.
Of Of course. Yeah, thanks for having us.
Well, let's talk first of all about our town itself, because it is one of those legendary shows. I think that folks have been watching for decades. For yourselves, is this, could you maybe, your impression of our town, had you been, I imagine you've been familiar with it. Was it one of those shows that you were looking forward to being part of? What's your take on our town?
Yeah, so I guess I'll go first.
Sure.
I think that the show itself is brilliant. And it's like, it's was one of the first Broadway shows that broke the fourth wall or like actively mm-hmm. addressed the audience. And I think it's the way that the show works and that it has minimal set and it breaks the fourth wall and there's different kind of points in time where you kind of feel like you're almost part of the onstage performance, even as an audience member. And I think that really adds thematically to the idea that we're all one people and we're all just getting by as everybody else. And I think some of the writing in it just really hits home for everybody, not just like in America, but on Earth. So
let me ask each of you what parts you're playing, because I think that'll be interesting. Lee, what part are you playing?
I'm playing Emily Webb.
And what is the role that Emily plays within this story?
Yeah, so Emily is one of the characters that we get to kind of see grow up. At first, she's trying to make her way as a teenager and figure out what she wants to do. And then she later falls in love with the other character, George. And then through her marriage, we see her death and kind of realize that...
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
She dies. Sorry, guys. And through her death, we kind of see what her life meant to her and how she might have wasted it, but also all the beautiful things that she really loved about living her life.
So. Milo, what role are you playing?
So I'm playing the opposite of Lee. I'm playing George Gibbs, which I've kind of realized more and more with the character is just kind of bringing out Emily's traits, and but it's super fun. Like it's the love interest who we watch grow up and get married, and then the mourning of the death of Emily. But it's definitely like I compliment Emily in the show more than I do my character. But it's a lot of fun.
And Nolan, what's your part?
I play the stage manager, kind of a unique role in theater. Stage manager is a common term in theater for the person who manages the stage backstage, make sure everything's running properly, and that's kind of what this character does on stage. And they actively address the audience, they talk to the audience, and they also set the stage for things to come. They introduce the wedding scene, they introduce the characters Emily and George. It can be played by a male or female. That's also an interesting part of it, and it really the other thing is, he plays different parts within the show. He plays a local drugstore owner and one of the dead in the third act. So it kind of gets us a perception of there's open to interpretation on who he is for each person. So,
how large is the cast and the crew? How many students are involved in this production?
Yeah, so we've got about 20 to 20, I want to say 3 in the cast, which is pretty cool for our town because it's a larger play in relation to like more modern casts. So 20 is about there. And then crew, I want to say we have maybe 5 or 6 with our backstage manager being Rachel and just a lot of cool people who can help us design lights and sound. And so 30-ish people, I'd say, in our cast and crew.
For you gentlemen, you've already answered the question in the past when you've been on, but for Lee, I'll start with you. I always like to ask our students who are part of these productions who come in, how long have you been involved in theater? How old were you the first time that you were involved in a production, and roughly how many productions have you been involved in?
Yeah, so I first started theater in 6th grade. I got really interested in Broadway during that time, and I started out for about 3 years doing crew. So I started off doing makeup, lights, sound, all that fun stuff. And yeah, and then in 8th grade is when I really started acting. And I really enjoyed it. So
what was the first show that you acted in?
High School Musical Junior. I played the rebel character. So I just dressed up as kind of an emo and stalked around the stage. But that was really fun. So I just kept doing it. And then I was in, I think, one production after COVID my freshman year. to my sophomore year, and then I did full crew my junior year, and I was in three then, and then it's this one, this year.
And do you have any hopes? You're a senior at West, correct?
Yes.
Do you have any hopes of continuing to be involved in the theater or acting as you go further into your life?
Well, I want to major in film. So my interest is more in like the editing aspect and being backstage or making a show myself. But hey, man, if I get if I get the chance to act again, I would take it up immediately.
And again, Milo, when did you start?
Sure. So I didn't really get into theater that early. I want to say it was maybe seventh grade. I was sitting at a tech rehearsal because my sister Odelia started in a lot earlier than I did. And the director at the time asked if I wanted to do some spotlight for him. And I said yes. And I kind of have been going from there. I haven't really stopped at West every show we've done. Yeah, it's a lot of fun, but I haven't been doing it as long as Mr. Nolan over here.
Real quickly, in terms of the shows you've been involved in, do you have a favorite part that you've played?
Man, that's a tough question. Yeah, I mean, most recently I played the barber, which was a lot of fun. And I mean, recency bias, but George Gibbs is a lot of fun to play, and he's a lot of fun to characterize. So I guess I'll go with that.
That's a wonderful answer, because for now people. Man, if he loves it that much, I'm going to go and see it this weekend.
Exactly.
And Nolan, obviously, we've talked to you previously, but again, when did you start?
So my principal recommended that I join theater in fourth grade. I did a Swedish production of Shrek the Musical, and I was Little Shrek. And then since there, I think I counted for my cast bio, I think I've done about 16, 17 shows, all acting. I've never really done any crew. Aside from sitting and watching Milo do a few times, he'll ask me to push a button sometimes, and I don't really know what they do, but I'll push it. I love being on stage, and I love acting and getting to play different parts. And yeah.
And what about you? Do you have a favorite role that you've played in your storied career, this long career that you've already had?
Yeah, well, I really loved playing Don Quixote this last fall with Wasso West. But as plays go, I think my favorite one was Richard Hene. We put on the last play that Wasso West did last year. That was a really, really fun show to do, and it was a really, really funny comedy. So,
what about the process for this show? Because obviously, I think one of the cool things about theater is you start off with your book. You have a stage reading. You basically start right at start at page one. Then you start blocking and you do everything. It's a real process. And then you do the show and then you tear it all down.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. Back in the day when I was doing it, it was jarring in a sense where you go through this. You have this wonderful set normally that you deal with. You do your last show. You get out of your costume, then you just tear it all down, and by the time you leave, it's all gone.
Yeah.
How has this process been? Has it been a challenging process? Has it been anything unique about this process that maybe you would like to share with our listeners?
Yeah, I mean, so it's definitely been, I want to say, one of the more traditional processes, at least at Wasso West, other than the fact that we don't have our stage. So that's a pretty large part of it. But we kind of knew that from the start, so that was nice. It's under construction, but it will be ready for next year. So we started in our choir room, which is new and finished, so it's just a flat floor, and we kind of just built the show from there. Every once in a while, we get one or two new set pieces, and we were just kind of in there. We lived in there. We taped the stage on the floor, which was super cool and very, like, it felt almost not professional, but it felt more like real theater. Mm-hmm. And then we moved into Thibault and Tilly this week on Sunday, and that's been a process. I mean, we have to put all the lights up, we have to put sound up, we have to make a seating arrangement, which has taken the longest time. We had to put up curtains, we had to make a backstage area. That move-in process has definitely been the most unique and probably the most challenging of the ones that I've worked on, of moving in and stuff, but it's so fun, and it's such a cool space that we're in with Randy. Nolan, did you guys have anything on that?
And maybe beyond that, in terms of maybe when do you feel comfortable within a show? Because again, we start off where you get the role and then you start with the stage reading, and then of course you have the process of the blocking, and then finally getting off a book. Lee, is there a point where you feel comfortable with a role, or is it just really continuing right up until the curtain drops tomorrow night?
It's kind of a continuous one where, like, with different roles, it's a different comfort level. Like, my sophomore year, I played Prince Charming in Game of Tiaras, and that was really quick because that was just a comic relief character. I could be silly. I could say basically whatever in improv, and, like, the audience would go with it. So that was kind of easy to adapt to, where Emily is a bit more of a serious character. You kind of see her life ebb and flow through very vast emotions, mm-hmm. where I'm still kind of trying to figure out what that means to me, but I'm getting more comfortable as I perform her.
And Nolan, with your experiences, how have things changed within the process of what you try to accomplish with your roles? How are you maybe different now in doing this role than maybe you were even a year or 2 years or 3 years ago? Your personal process as you continue as a performer?
Sure. And what I think has helped a lot with me is working with our director, Brad Schmicker, and his wife, Sarah Rudolph, mm-hmm. on a lot of things. But I think the biggest thing for me is I have to start out asking myself questions about the character. And I ask when they're in certain situations, how do they feel about this? And not only what's on the page, but what's not written on the page, mm-hmm. about if I'm speaking a monologue about George and Emily's life, how do I feel about what they're going through? Do I like marriage? Do I not like marriage? Am I married? And once I ask all these questions, I kind of get a certain persona on my character. And once I find that sort of shape that I'm creating, then once I've got that, it becomes much quicker to notice where my hands are. It's like once you figure out what the mind is like, you can then figure out what the body goes to, and then that makes acting a lot more comfortable. And so once you ask these questions, and not sometimes you don't need an answer. Sometimes you mm-hmm. just need to think about that, and maybe your character doesn't have an answer to the question. So that's how I do it, and it's maybe it's not the right way, but it helps me develop a character for sure.
I will say you at Wausau West are very fortunate to have Brad and Sarah as part of these productions. But I mean, I was at UWMC when they came to town, and it was a long time ago, yeah. And very, very, very good people and great with what they do within theater. So, coming up Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 7 o'clock, Sunday at 2. Our Town, Wausau West Theater, performing at T-Bone and Tilly on Scott Street in Wausau. Break a leg. Enjoy your final dress tonight, and thank you all for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We'll come back. We'll have our daily history lesson. We'll test Ian as well with our number of the day coming up next. I'm Chad Holmes, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.
Hello, Wausau.
We're Ryan and Paul from the Wausau Business Show. Happy to announce caller 9 to 715-9-WAUSA gets a new set of AirPod Pros, Apple AirPod Pros.
Caller number 9 right now, 715-9-WAUSA is our number.
Just leave your name and number.
And we'll announce the winner Saturday morning between 8 and 9 during the Wausau Business Show on 98.9 Bull Falls Radio, 715-9-WAUSA.
Don't forget to leave your name and number on our answering machine.
We'll tell you who caller number 9 was this Saturday, 8 to 9 on the Wausau Business Show.
Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Thanks again to Milo Holthusen, also Lee Hornan, and Nolan Butler for joining us from Wausau West and the Wausau West Theater Company as they get set to open tomorrow night, Our Town. And I encourage you all to get it over there and see the show again at T-Bow and Tilly on Scott Street in Wausau. All very personable, very nice, and very talented young people.
Absolutely. It's going to be, I hope it's going to be a great show. Actually, I know it will be a great show.
I'm sure it will be as well. Mm-hmm. Today is the 17th day of April of 2024, and some famous events have occurred on this date in history. On this date in 1865, Mary Surratt was arrested as a conspirator in the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. On this date in 1907, Ellis Island Immigration Center processed 11,747 people, more than any other day. On this date in 1964, the Ford Motor Company unveiled the Ford Mustang at the New York World's Fair. That was a major, major event for Ford. They needed that back in the early 60s, and the Mustang became a huge smash hit for Ford. The base price for the original Ford Mustang was $2,368. 1964, on this date, the FBI lab reported that it could not determine the lyrics on the Kingsmen's recording, Louie Louie. On this date in 1970, the ill-fated Apollo 13 spacecraft returned safely to Earth. On this date in 1973, Federal Express delivered its first package. On this date in 2013, 15 people were killed and 100 were injured after a fertilizer plant exploded in West Texas. And that was not West Texas, but the name of the city, West Texas.
Oh.
On this date in 2021, the global COVID-19 death toll passed 3 million. And on this date, that very same day in 2021, the funeral of Prince Philip was held under COVID-19 restrictions at Windsor Palace, England. Some famous people are celebrating their birthdays today. Actor Sean Bean of Lord of the Rings is 65 years old today. Jennifer Garner. Oh, I've always had a bit of a crush on Jennifer Garner. Just,
me too.
But back when she was, one of her first roles was on Felicity. Back when I was younger, and I thought she was just the best, of great actress.
I remember
her
when she was Elektra in the Daredevil movie.
And she was also the star of, what was the name of the TV series where she played this?
Oh, Alias.
Alias, and she was really known for Alias as well. Jennifer Garner.
I remember that show.
Yep, she is 52 years old today. Victoria Beckham of the Spice Girls, Posh Spice, is 50. Actor Rooney Mara. The girl with the dragon tattoo, Mary Magdalene, is 39. And Phoebe Dynevor of Bridgerton is 29 years old today. And if you out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Some special events being acknowledged today. It is Bat Appreciation Day. Appreciate bats.
Like the creature or the baseball bat?
I don't know.
Why
I guess,
not both?
I guess you could do both.
Of them.
Yeah. It is also Bookmobile Day.
Oh.
It is Banana Day. Are you a banana fan?
Yes, I am. A big banana fan.
It is International Ford Mustang Day, an anniversary, an acknowledgement of the anniversary of the Mustang. Mm-hmm. It is Cheese Ball Day. Cheese Ball Day.
That sounds good.
It is Crawfish Day. It is Kickball Day and World Hemophilia Day. So those are the special days being acknowledged here on this 17th day of April of 2024. All right.
All right, I'm ready. I'm ready for this.
All right. Give me a moment here, Ian. Ian, look at me here.
Are you going to challenge me this time?
I needed to clear my voice just to get ready for this.
Okay, absolutely.
All right, our number for the day. The number of people killed in police pursuits from 2017 to 2022. More than half of them passengers or bystanders. So some innocent bystanders. But the number of people killed in police pursuits from 2017 to 2022. Okay. Is the correct answer A, 2,736. B, 3,336. C, 3,936. Okay. So is it A, 2,736? B, 3,336? C, 3,936. People killed in police pursuits over the span of 2017 to 2022.
5 years.
Okay. 5 years.
Okay.
2736, 3336, 3936. You can see the wheels turning.
Yeah. I mean, these are all really bad, but
yes.
Okay, I'm not going to overthink this.
You're 0 for 2 this week, so yes, you need this one right now. I need an answer.
Boy, okay, I'm going to go with C. It's my final answer.
So 3936.
Yes.
The correct answer is 3,336. B.
Man, I was going to go with B. Oh! I overthought it again.
You overthink it. It's not. Oh, jeez. All right. Well,
he was returning, but they were moving in the wrong direction.
I know. Well, we still got a couple of days to get back to where you need to be, but the pressure's on. Thursday and Friday.
The 33%.
Yeah, you got to get both Thursday and Friday. So we'll do it again tomorrow. Again, thanks to our guests today, from Wausau West High School, Milo Holthusen, Lee Horning, and Nolan Mudler. Members of the cast of Our Town, staging Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Coming up tomorrow, we will be joined to start the show off with Up North News host Pat Kreitlow. And then at 8:34, we'll have our North Star Restoration, North Star Builds with North Star Knows coming up tomorrow. Mm. Well, have yourself a great rest of your Wednesday, Ian.
You too, Chad. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Happy hump day.
Everybody stick around as well. Information update coming up. News, weather, and sports followed by Matinair on Air. Have a great Wednesday. Thanks for joining us. Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.